Thank you. You know, I'm going to start off my comments by doing something different than I really planned on. And that is, I hope there's no secret there that I support the payment of at least U.S. minimum wage to people who are blind. So based on that, I have to support the two resolutions that were passed yesterday here at this convention. And further, I believe going right to the root, right to the legislation, is really the way to do this and to put this at rest once and for all. You know, normally I'm introduced these days as the past president and executive director of the Chicago Lighthouse. But, you know, to tell you the truth, I really never saw myself as president or executive director of the Chicago Lighthouse. I always saw myself first and foremost as a person who's blind. I've been blind my whole life. In 2010, I was appointed by President Obama to the United States Ability One Commission, which is formally known as the Committee for Purchase from People Who Are Blind or Severely Disabled. I was appointed as a private citizen to represent the interests of people who are blind, and that's how I see my role, that's how I see my responsibility. You know, it was an honor to be appointed by President Obama, because I know he's a strong supporter of the Ability One program, and I also know he is aware of the National Federation of the Blind. I know that because just a few years ago, I took him on a tour of the Chicago Lighthouse. He came specifically to see our Ability One programs. He came with some of his staff, and after the tour, we had a chance to talk with him and to some of his staff, and at that time, I learned he was aware of the National Federation of the Blind and its advocacy and his advocacy in the area of minimum wage. Yeah, I've been in this business a long time, 45 years, so I've had a chance to develop some historical perspectives. But before I do that, I'd like to take just a minute to explain the Ability One program, to describe that a little bit. The landmark legislation was originally known as the Wagner-O'Day Act, and it was passed in 1938. And the act set up a method whereby a not-for-profit organization that employed people who were blind could manufacture and supply a product to the federal government. And in 1971, the act was amended, and at that time it became known as the Javits-Wagner-O'Day Act. And two changes happened back then. The first was they added that not-for-profits that employed people who are blind could supply services as well as products to the federal government. And the second change was that the act included other not-for-profit organizations that employed people with other severe disabilities. The act established an independent federal agency known as the United States Ability One Commission. And there are 15 members of the commission appointed by the president. 11 are executives from federal agencies. There are two members that represent the interests of people with severe disabilities. And then there are another two members who represent the interests of people who are blind. I'm one of the appointees that represents the interests of people who are blind. And the other is James H. Umvig. And Jim Umvig is also the vice chairman of the Ability One Commission. The commission has the power, through casting votes, to place a product or service on a special procurement list. And once that product or service is on that special procurement list, federal agencies must buy those products or services from designated not-for-profit organizations that employ people who are blind or people with other severe disabilities. There are two associated national not-for-profit agencies under the Ability One system. One is National Industries for the Blind, and the other is NISH. And National Industries for the Blind helps local not-for-profit agencies develop products that would eventually go to the commission for vote and hopeful placement on the procurement list. And NISH does the same for not-for-profits that employ people with other severe disabilities. But through this process of casting votes, agencies for the blind manufacture and supply writing instruments, all kinds of office products. They manufacture U.S. Army T-shirts and Coast Guard sweatsuits, and they supply switchboard operations to veterans' hospitals and on Army installations, all kinds of other products. As I said, I've been in this business a long time, and I have a sort of a historical perspective. I'm basically, as I continue here, I'm basically an optimistic person. But I do remember, as Dr. Maurer said, in the early 1970s, 73, 75, the mentality and the generally accepted practice for agencies for the blind was paying on a piece rate without a U.S. guarantee minimum wage. As I see it today, my opinion today is the vast majority of agencies for the blind truly accept that the best business practice is to pay people who are blind at least the U.S. minimum wage. I was on the board of National Industries for the Blind when we voted that its members are to, as a policy, its members are to pay at least the U.S. minimum wage to blind workers. NIB set up a system where of rehabilitation engineers that would help local not-for-profit agencies use the best manufacturing methods, the best equipment, and technology to make sure the revenues were maximized so those wages, at least U.S. minimum wage, could be paid to blind workers. Yet, even today, as we've heard with the previous speakers, there's still a long way to go. There are still some agencies that still pay sub-minimum wage. And, you know, paying on a piece rate, that's a 19th century concept. That's how people were paid in the 1800s. That's how people were paid in 1905 and 1910. And when you're paid on a piece rate basis, there's unfair burden put on your blind labor. There are unfair burdens that really don't belong on the blind worker, it belongs on the employer, because some of those burdens will affect the blind person's ability or anybody's ability to produce higher quantities of work, which means higher income for the person. For example, if the employer has poor supervision, that can impact the blind worker's piece rate that they're putting out. So it's going to result in them earning less money. If the employer has poor supply techniques, that isn't the problem of the worker, that's the problem of the employer. If the parts are defective, that shouldn't affect the worker's wages through lower production. They got to get the right parts there. If you're not using the right, most efficient, effective machinery to do your production, that's not the blind worker's fault. It should not affect that person in the form of lower wages. If you're working in conditions that are hot and cramped or cold, that can affect production. That is not the responsibility of the blind worker. That's the responsibility of the employer. If you have generally poor industrial engineering techniques, that is not the problem of the blind worker. That's the problem of the employer. And what a guaranteed minimum wage does, it means that when those negative factors are in play, it doesn't affect the blind worker's wages. They still get paid the guaranteed U.S. minimum wage. It affects the employer that's not doing things right. Paying on a piece rate is a 19th century concept. I believe paying U.S. minimum wage, that's a 20th century concept. We're in the 21st century. We are not in the 20th century. I believe that wages should be a living wage, greater than U.S. minimum wage. It should be a wage that a person can support their family, a wage that people can purchase a home, put their children through school, and have all the other American dreams that everybody else has the opportunity to access. I mentioned earlier that I'm kind of an optimistic person. I've been on I'm probably the newest appointee on the U.S. Ability One Commission, and I honestly see that paying a living wage is the direction that the U.S. Ability One Commission is going. I have no doubt that is because of the National Federation of the Blind's advocacy over the past 35 or 45 years. They've done it single-handedly without any help from anybody else, brought this major issue in front of everybody to the point where it is, in my view, in fact changing, and where the actual best business practice is viewed as and accepted as paying U.S. minimum wage. And as Janet Slick mentioned, you know, we have contracts and wages that we're paying our manufacturing workers $11.21 an hour, and our service workers $21.85 an hour, and our contract management staff $27.74 an hour. These, as I see Ability One and the staff at Ability One and the leadership at Ability One through Tina Ballard, that to me is what they want to do, and what the direction that they're going is to paying a minimum wage. And I, Dr. Maurer mentioned his first time at the Chicago Lighthouse in 1975. I recall those days very clearly because National Federation of the Blind not only advocated all these years for good wages, but also for good working conditions. And I remember in 1975 when we were picketed, we weren't doing things right. We were paying on the piece rate basis, not necessarily with any kind of guaranteed minimum wage, and frankly, our working conditions were substandard. And National Federation confronted the Chicago Lighthouse on those two issues. I look back at that, that was the best thing that ever happened to the Chicago Lighthouse. The reason that was the best thing that ever happened to the Chicago Lighthouse was shortly thereafter, the board changed management. Shortly thereafter, management instituted the U.S. minimum wage. Shortly thereafter that, we instituted a guaranteed minimum wage that was higher than the U.S. minimum wage. Shortly thereafter, management and board vowed to build a facility that was a model that people who are blind and everybody involved would be proud of. Shortly thereafter that confrontation, board relooked at its board of directors and wanted to make sure that there was significant representation on that board by people who are blind or perhaps family members who are blind, because that was a good way to ensure that good wages are paid and that the working conditions were good, is to have people who are blind on those boards. And those three things have kind of become part of the culture at the Chicago Lighthouse. And I have, again, no doubt that that has influenced many agencies across the country to do the same thing, to pay minimum wage, to have a quality work environment. You know, I think the changes that I see, and I'm optimistic, definitely the result of inspiring leadership, leadership from both national and state NFB people like Dr. Kenneth Jernigan and Dr. Mark Maurer and James H. Umbig and Jim Gashel and Fred Schroeder and Anil Lewis and Patty Chang, who heads up the Illinois Federation of the Blind. You know, when you first now walk into the Ability One offices, there's a display there. You can't help but run right into it. And it's a display on and featuring Dr. Kenneth Jernigan. And there's a quote on that wall that says, "It's respectable to be blind." You know, and I see the staff and the other commission members there, and you know, I'm optimistic. I have great confidence in Tina Ballard and the staff there, moving that program the right direction, higher wages. The jobs that are coming out of the Ability One program today are jobs that are knowledge-based. They exist in federal buildings, federal facilities, including military facilities, and they have a principle of a quality work environment. You know, there's a subcommittee in the Ability One Commission, and it's chaired by James H. Umbig, and it's a quality work environment. There's like three or four principles there. One is paying competitive wages, making sure that there's worker satisfaction that's monitored, that there's a clear career path for people who are blind, and that there's training, ongoing training that could help people in the program move up in the system. And NIB has this training program that leads to all kinds of leadership jobs within NIB. And they offer graduate training to folks in the program, supervisory training, internships, fellowships, and people have moved up to CEO positions at not-for-profit agencies and vice president positions and supervisor positions. This is what I see as Ability One and Ability One today and where it's going. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.